finally here. Nebraska Creighton rivalry week. Sort of. I'm John Niatawa. He's Chris Eddy. Kind of the reason, well, one of the reasons why we started this podcast was the hype and the anticipation for Saturday's game, Nebraska versus Creighton. This is the half court press. We're back to preview that game. And yes, we know that Nebraska, this is a Monday, recording on a Monday, by the way. Mm-hmm. So if you happen upon this on a Thursday, Friday, ignore this part. But for those who are ahead of the game, we understand that Nebraska plays at Minnesota on Wednesday, and that result could interfere or influence how we all feel about Nebraska going into this matchup. But in our minds, the intensity and the hate and the significance is not going to be diminished at all when the two teams, Creighton and Nebraska, actually take the court, no matter what happens at Minnesota. So the majority of this podcast is going to be devoted to Saturday.
Yeah, it's not that Wednesday doesn't matter, because it does for Nebraska in terms of like the Big Ten and like their direction. Not as much though in terms of like the direction of the program and like the big picture. Like, it's an important game. The Creighton game on Saturday is an important moment. Like, it is an important moment for the program at this point in time with the trajectory. Like, even if Nebraska loses to Minnesota, right? And I don't think that they're going to, but even if they do, if they beat Creighton, that would more than make up for it.
Yeah.
And they would be still probably be right. Like, it would still, everything with all their goals are still in mind. If they lose to Creighton, morally, like internally,
a gut punch.
That hurts. It's a gut punch. And we've seen what can happen after a Creighton loss. Like, it just, it's a big moment. And so it comes at a really exciting time, because I think a couple weeks ago, we thought that this would kind of be one of those games where like Creighton's rebuilding and Nebraska's really good. And so like Nebraska would kind of handle it pretty well. But now Creighton took the number one team in the country for almost as much as it could take. About, I think what you wrote, like 30 minutes, 30
yeah,
minutes.
About 30 minutes.
About there.
Mm-hmm.
And played them really well for 20. I mean, extremely well for 20.
Mm-hmm.
And now Creighton's on a roll. They're kind of, you know, getting more votes in the AP poll. They're moving up in KenPom. And Nebraska is finally ranked 24th. So it's like, this is going to be a really good game, I think, is what we've. I think that's our consensus, right? This is going to be a good game.
It should be.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that's basketball, sometimes all it takes is one or two plays. Sometimes it just tilts it, and then the game's one sided. I think there are probably over the last 7 years, Creighton's beaten Nebraska 7 times in a row, obviously. But like, I would imagine that there are a lot of those games that going in you felt would be closer than what the final was. So anything could happen.
Right.
But, and obviously, Nebraska's got a lot of motivation to try to put it on them if they're in a position to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think from a talent standpoint, where they're at, I think they're pretty even. So I think Saturday is going to be good. What intrigues you the most about this thing? Like, when you sit down in your seat, you know, what aspect of the day or the game are you going to be consumed by or monitoring?
Small picture, nitty gritty stuff. I was thinking about this today. Nebraska is one of the best 3-point defenses in the country. And I don't have the stat right in front of me. For a while, they were first in effective field goal percentage, which takes into account 2-point percentage and 3-point percentage. Teams shoot like 23% from three from, against Nebraska, which is like outstanding. And I don't know what Creighton shoots from three off the top of my head.
Well, they're at 46.7 before at Gonzaga, and in that game, I don't know what they finished. Probably just a little bit lower than 40. So I bet they're probably around 45%.
Yeah. When you look at Creighton and when they played Gonzaga, it was just kind of an onslaught of threes from like four or five different guys in the first 10 minutes, it seemed like, where it was like, wow, that guy's coming in hitting the three. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And so when you have these two elements of, that's how Creighton, in my opinion, and you can kind of tell me if I'm wrong, but that's how Creighton kind of sets the tone. Like, that's how they kind of set the pace. That's kind of how they punch people in the mouth, is like, we're just going to go out and really lay it on you guys. And Nebraska, on the other hand, they do, besides the Illinois game, they actually didn't do that well in terms of 3-point defense against Illinois. Like, they were kind of lazy. But in the last couple games, you know, before that, they've been extremely good at just contesting everything and making everything hard and battling through screens and like just making things kind of a mess. And so, small picture, that's what I'm really intrigued with like one of Creighton's strengths, one of Nebraska's strengths, like who wins out in that battle. Big picture, I think what I'm most intrigued with is I'm really excited to see what the atmosphere is going to be like.
Yes.
And if the really, really raw feelings from about a month and a half ago come out in December.
Because the rivalry kind of got kickstarted a little bit with the, are you talking about the FBI?
Yeah. And what I'm thinking of,
it's the court case. It was the court case, the court case that implicated Creighton into the FBI scandal.
And what I'm thinking of specifically is like when Tim Miles wasn't talking about Creighton.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And Bruce Rasmussen went on Twitter and was like, defending Creighton, even though Tim wasn't talking about it.
Very vague comments from Creighton's athletic director, who, other than a couple tweets, has not spoken on the record about that, except for the statement that denied that Creighton did anything wrong.
But just like that was some raw rivalry. Like,
there's some stuff there.
And the fans made it. I'm curious, what's it look like on Saturday? Like, is some of that hate kind of that after all of that went down? Tom Chattel can't be there. And so I texted Dirk and I was like, hey, you better make sure that you're there on Saturday because this is going to be,
you got to experience
this is gonna
it.
Be great. Yeah.
I hope everyone who the stadium only holds so many people, but I think everyone who has a ticket is really excited or has a seat is going to be really excited to see it. It's such a weird, like, this rivalry is so different, you know, like I can't really. Can you think of one that compares? It's largely because there's so many, like, there's this perception out there, and part of it is legit because there are Creighton fans who root for Nebraska football, but there's this idea that like every Creighton fan roots for Nebraska football and thus has turned its back on Nebraska basketball, and so Nebraska basketball fans hold resentment to the Creighton fans who they in their mind they're like, well, they're cheering for Scott Frost and the boys on Saturday, but then when we play on Tuesday, they're not on our side anymore. Like, what's up with that?
It's like you're not a pure Nebraska fan.
But then Creighton fans are like, our school doesn't have football. What are we supposed to do? It's a football state.
Right.
Nebraska football, I feel like from the Creighton perspective, you can make the argument like Nebraska football is sort of like its own entity. It is Nebraskans are prideful people, and they know that across the country, people sort of regard us here in the state as flyover country. They can't tell the difference between Nebraska and Iowa and Kansas and Wyoming. Like, in their mind, it's all the same. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But Nebraska football over the years has always sort of been like the front door to the state. It's been sort of like the introduction to what you associate Nebraska football with the state.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're from like New York or Florida, a lot of times, especially in the sports world, if you're aware of the state of Nebraska, it's largely because of Nebraska football.
Right.
And so I feel like if you grew up in the state, especially during the 80s and 90s, when Nebraska football was really sort of making its push and leaving its mark on the national landscape, that's what your identity is sort of formed as part of that.
Totally.
And so I think in a lot of fans' minds, like, they were drawn to Nebraska because of football. And then you're like, well, I kind of like how their basketball team plays, and I'm going to support this university because this football team is who I am drawn to.
Right.
And I'll root for volleyball, and I'll root for baseball.
Right.
But some fans who support Nebraska football happen to also root for Creighton basketball. Maybe they lived in Omaha. Maybe they had some ties to the university. Maybe it's just easier for them to go to games, and they fell in love with the team. So it's like, I can see why there's a segment. Now, don't get me wrong. There's also a segment of Creighton fans who do not like Nebraska for anything. You know, they're not going to support Nebraska at all. But there is, it's a football state. Nebraska football has just been such an iconic institution, that program in our state for so long that it's like, it's understandable why you would see some Creighton fans who also root for Nebraska football.
It's like,
but can I just say this real quick before I let you go? The more, and that's what I thought as soon as I moved here, but I've been here for 10 years now, and the more I get ingrained in this, like, especially covering Creighton basketball, like, the more I feel I have to choose. I don't know. I don't want to like make any rules. Okay. Right. You're a fan of whoever you want to be a fan of. Okay. Right. But there's a lot of like venom, and it does seem like I would be torn if I was again on Friday, or like 2 weeks rooting for Creighton to beat Clemson the night before Thanksgiving, and then putting on my Husker jersey 2 days later and root for Nebraska.
That's a little
football.
Much.
It just feels, but yeah. There's a lot of people who do it. Again, I'm not judging because for the reasons I just laid out, I can understand why it happens, but it
is
different.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like the rivalry, the hatred within the rivalry, there's like a reason to it, right? Where there was a lot of rivalries where you just like inherently don't like the other school because the other school happens to exist, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Purdue, Indiana, and I don't know why I hate Indiana.
Right, I grew up.
Like, and I don't even know. It was just like one day, I was like, "Nah, I don't like that red team over there," and I have no idea where that came from. I was like, "I'm riding with the black and the gold," and I don't know why I grew up like in the middle of the two universities, more in Hoosier country than Boilermaker country, but I chose, and I don't know why.
And like I grew up,
then I hated.
Right, and I grew up like. With KUMU, there's kind of this, like, there is some, like, free state, slave state, like, you know,
like
stuff going
whole,
on.
Old history.
Ground,
so, yeah.
like, you know, burning down Lawrence, all that stuff. So there's some of that. But it's very much of just, like, I just don't like anything you stand for. And, like, I hate your colors. Yeah. And, like, the letter M just kind of sucks. It's just, like, you know, that happened.
Oh.
With Nebraska-Creighton, there is this really unique, like, it's almost like for the first time a rivalry you can be like they have a point, like you cheer for this football team but not the basketball team, that doesn't make sense, and the other side's like I acknowledge that doesn't make sense but I'm going to anyway.
Yeah.
And shut up. Like that's the way it kind of goes. The only thing I can think of to compare it to is like a I don't know, like New York Mets, New York Yankees, and like the Yankees are in the World Series and Mets fans are cheering against the Yankees and Yankees fans are like, but you're from New York, like this doesn't make any sense kind of a thing. But like other than that, I mean, that's like stretching. That's like specific.
Because I can think of like Cubs fans who would just almost be appalled to have White Sox fans cheering. Idea of a White Sox fan cheering for the Cubs kind of grosses you out, I would think. So, you know, I can see...
What are you small picture, big picture intrigued of?
Well,
that
part of it is
okay,
just
that's
the
big
fans.
Picture.
I mean, yeah, the atmosphere. Last year's game was at Creighton, and when I sat down on my seat on press row, I looked up, and the lower bowl was basically blue. Mm-hmm. It's Creighton's home court. You expected that, but when I looked up above at the upper level, you just saw this like pretty heavy splattering of red. And when Nebraska, they started the game so well and started making pushes and making plays, I think Nebraska was up 8 at one point, you could just hear the roar from Husker fans, but it was high. You know, so it was almost like big play would happen, there'd be a little bit of a delay, and then you could just hear like this roar emanating from the rafters, and you're just like, whoa. So it was just a cool atmosphere, because then you could tell that Creighton fans, obviously, as they trying to will on their team to get back in the game, like they were louder once Creighton started making runs, and then Nebraska was. So it was. I just thought it was a really cool atmosphere. I can't remember. So I covered the game 2 years ago when Creighton went down to Lincoln, and that Creighton team was obviously really good. They ended up at one point they were ranked 10th in the country, or in the top 10 in the country. And that game, the way it played out is like Creighton jumped on them early. Nebraska found a way to kind of get back in the game at halftime, but then Creighton jumped on them again. And so I felt like Creighton sort of sucked the energy out of the building. So I felt like we didn't get a lot of back and forth. I think Creighton fans got a good CU chant in at the end, toward the end of the game. But it wasn't as, classic high school gyms when both fan bases are going back and forth.
This seems like, and that's what I, again, anything can happen, whatever, but this seems like a game where like both teams are going to go on 10-0 runs.
It's very possible.
Like Nebraska's going to come out and go up like 13-4 and they're going to call time, and McDermott's going to call timeout, and the place is going to be rocking. And then Creighton's going to come out and hit three straight threes, and Tamal's going to have to call timeout and be like, guys, we have to keep going.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like
I think
a heavyweight fight. Like, I wrote this story.
At least that's what I'm hoping for, man.
Right.
Like,
well,
if one team does just lay the hammer down, like, there will be some intrigue, because obviously if Creighton does it again, you know,
that's huge.
That's a big sort of storyline. But if Nebraska finally is able to just, like, put it on them and win by 20, I mean, yeah, there's some intrigue there. But from a college basketball standpoint and fan just experience, I want to see it go back and forth and
right.
have the ebbs and flows
of
it.
The reason why I think that it's going to be is the more that I've watched, like, I feel like both teams are pretty similar at this point. Like, I think, like, where did you rank both of them in your poll? Like, they're probably pretty close, right?
Had Creighton 27th and Nebraska 28th.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, at this point, and I think probably a couple weeks ago, you know, Nebraska, I think, was 26
in the AP poll.
Mm-hmm. And Creighton, I think, was in the 35 or something. Like,
yeah.
They were, like, I just feel like they are colliding at this perfect moment. And again, Nebraska plays at Minnesota on Wednesday, and that kind of changes things, but also kind of doesn't. Like,
yeah.
Big picture, it kind of doesn't. And I think whenever you say, you know, but what if Creighton wins by 20 or what if Nebraska wins by 20? In my head, I keep thinking of, like, I look at these two rosters and, like, I can't imagine either of them just laying down, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine.
Especially in a game like this with so much.
Right. Like, I can't imagine Tyshawn
motivation.
Alexander just being like, all right. Like, I can feel him be like, all right, I'm going to go shoot. I'm going to go make, like, four in a row.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go get mine real quick. Or Isaac Copeland being like, all right, well, I'm just like, he's got another shot on. Like, this is going to be, like, I think, you know, I just wrote the story about Kent Pavelka and his 1,000th broadcast, and he talked about the old Coliseum, and there used to be, like, cigarette smoke you could smoke in the Coliseum. And so he said this first game that he ever broadcasted, there was, like, smoke in the air, and the lights were on the ground, and it was, like, a heavyweight title fight. Like, that's what I pictured this game being,
yeah.
Right? It's just, like, this, like, important moment.
And I just feel like, yeah, I just feel like there's going to be a lot of energy from Nebraska fans. The students are going to be incredible, so I'm looking forward to that. From, like, an X's and O's standpoint, I think you're right on with three-point shooting. That's the key. I mean, I just texted somebody today. I was like, you know, if Creighton goes 5 for 31 from three-point range, it's probably not gonna win that game. Like,
right.
It's not gonna, I'd probably lose it by double digits if
right.
it does that. So, like, that might be the biggest key, but I am curious about pace too, because Nebraska last year, finally got to play the game sort of on its terms, so to speak. Like, it dictated the tempo. So if Nebraska can do that again, you know, that's obviously to its advantage. But the other thing,
But the thing is, though, Nebraska yeah. kind of wants to play at Creighton's pace.
They looked good,
like,
against Illinois doing it, right?
The weirdest thing about this team, like, they are good in transition. They're at their best in transition.
Yeah.
And, like, this is going to just make people mad. But, like, they want to be Creighton. Like, they want to shoot a lot of threes. They want to get out and run in transition. Like, they want to be Creighton with a better defense. Like, that's
yeah.
what they want to be. And so what's curious to me in terms of pace is, like, what if Nebraska does dictate the pace, but it is okay with Creighton that they do that because it's still more up-tempo than slow? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that look like?
Yeah, I mean, Creighton would welcome Nebraska to start running and taking... Well, they won't... Creighton won't want to give up easy buckets in transition, but they'll be willing to give up a quick shot every now and then. It was funny, Creighton played Clemson, and Clemson's not a team that I would think of that wants to play up-tempo... like, with Creighton, mm-hmm. wants Creighton to settle in, because Creighton prefers to play at that pace, mm-hmm. so why would you want them to do what they do? But there was a stretch where they allowed Clemson to make, like, six buckets in a row, and I kind of joked on Twitter, I was like, Creighton has lured Clemson into an up-and-down shootout-style game very cleverly by giving up six buckets
right.
in a row, but they got it, like, they got the style they wanted,
yeah.
and then they were pretty much in control for the most part of that game. I mean... I agree with you, man. I was watching Illinois, and Illinois tried to speed Nebraska up, and Nebraska's like, cool.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, we want to run and dunk and get layups and wide open jumpers. Like, sitting in the half court and trying to run motion or run plays has not worked.
No,
so let's get up and go. And
yeah, that's the thing. Nebraska's trying to run more sets, but the thing is if their initial, like, all right, we're going to try and get to Roby on this set. But if that doesn't work out, then it kind of becomes a mess. And like, if they try and run motion against some of these teams that are trying to like mess with them and like overplay the wings, then it kind of becomes a mess too. And so like, that's why I think they do well in transition. The other thing though, so pace and like three pointers, but Nebraska did turn the ball over 16 times against Illinois. And you know, put it out on Twitter and people kind of got mad, which is a common theme now.
To just get mad at you or just mad at everything?
Kind of both.
Okay.
If Nebraska turns the ball over 16 times against Creighton, what happens?
That's going to be a lot of easy buckets for the Jays. Yeah.
Like they take those, I feel like, and I don't know if you've got stat on you, but like they have to be pretty good points off turnovers, right? Like that's, I feel like that plays
they don't force a lot of turnovers, but they haven't this year. But yeah, when one of the reasons why Creighton was up on Gonzaga at the half was because the Zags turned it over.
Right.
So missed shots, quick shots that you miss, bad shot selection basically, and turnovers, that fuels Creighton's tempo more than
anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's, Miles has been worried about quick shots, and they actually have done much better in the last probably three games on that, not taking quick shots. But like, if Nebraska gets a little too excited and forgets the game plan, quick shots, turnovers, that's recipe for a long day.
Yeah. I am curious. So 2 years ago, Tim Miles, his plan against Creighton was to let Maurice Watson beat them. It did not work. Mm-hmm. He dropped 25 and 8. And mm-hmm. I think of the 25, 16 of those were off layups.
Yeah.
He killed them. He just penetrated in the middle of their defense and made plays. But I wonder if you can take a portion of that. It's like the idea was Creighton had Justin Patton, don't give up lobs. Marcus Foster and Kyrie Thomas on the 3-point line, don't give them 3-point looks. And I wonder if you can take that game plan to this year mm-hmm. and say, okay, Davion Mintz and Marcus Zagorowski, you beat us. Like, we're not going to give Tyshawn Alexander and Mitch Balick open looks. We're not going to let Martin Crumple catch lobs and Jacob Epperson catch lobs and dunk on us. Let's just see what happens when Davion Mintz has the ball at the elbow. Yeah. Can he make a play?
Yeah.
Same with Marcus Zagorowski, a freshman in his first road game. I mean, that's another thing for Creighton. This is the first time they've been in a really hostile setting with a young Ken Palm has them as the youngest team in the Big East. Hmm. I mean, the rotation is 10 deep and 7 are freshmen and sophomores. Mm-hmm. So is that right? Maybe 6 are freshmen and sophomores. So, like, how do they handle that environment, I think, is key. And especially, so if I'm Nebraska, I'm like, yeah, let's just put the ball in those point guards' hands and just try to make them beat us.
And they've honestly, Nebraska's kind of done that already with, like, I mean, Trent Frazier only had 9 last night. Mm. And he had 29 against Gonzaga. I'm trying to think. Marquise Reed was held way under his average. Like, they've done a really good job
on like the big time scorers, the guys that kind of lead that the offense a lot of times just run through. So
they basically,
I'd imagine they take care of Tyshawn.
Yeah.
They definitely, I mean, I don't think he's going to score 25, 27, 36, what he did against mm-hmm. Clemson.
But if he scores like 17, like that's, I think if they can hold him to below 15, they'd be happy. Mm-hmm. But like, part of me, I don't know. Maybe it's just every time I've watched Creighton, Tyshawn Alexander's looked very good.
He's had many good games. He's actually had 3 good games in a row. And against Montana, he didn't score a lot, but Montana, and I bet that Nebraska will do something similar. Like, Montana did a really good job of trying to deny him the ball. They ran him off the 3-point line, got up in his face, but he didn't force anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he was really smart about creating for others and just trying to let the game come to him. I feel like he might have taken like 13 shots maybe that day, or maybe it was even less than that. It might have just been 9 or something, or 10, but like maybe 1 I can remember him forcing. Mm-hmm. He did a really good job of just saying, okay, this is how you're going to play me. That means that other people are open.
Right.
But then he had 36 against Clemson the game before Montana, and then 27 against Gonzaga the game after. So he's had a good stretch here, and definitely I thought against Ohio State he was really good too, but.
So do you think that Creighton just goes, okay, we're going to let James get 20, but no one else is scoring? What do you, because he's had 20 in a row. He's got 20 in the last 2 games. You know, he seems to have figured it out. Like, he had a really tough start to the season.
Yeah, and right. It's like, I don't know if Creighton has anybody that can guard him one-on-one. So you might have to just live with the fact that he's going to score 20.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely don't want Copeland getting hot and going for 30. And you don't want to have Roby dunking all over the place. And you don't want Glenn Watson driving in the teeth of your defense. They've done, I feel like over the years, they've done a really good job of keeping Watson under control. I think Copeland had a really good game against Creighton last year, I feel like. But if you stick to the scouting report, I think you can handle Copeland and Watson.
Mm-hmm. And Roby's not played extremely well.
Right.
So maybe he just kind of takes care
of
himself.
So maybe that's what the plan for Creighton's. You don't want Palmer going for 40, but if you can keep him at his average,
right,
maybe you feel okay with that.
Yeah.
Because
there are two, I think there are two ways you beat Nebraska. I think you say, okay, we're putting our best defender on James, and he's not touching the ball, and he's not going to shoot. Like, yeah, that, like, that's the game plan.
But I don't think Creighton has the forces to do
right,
that.
And you let everyone, and you say, Copeland, go get 30 and see if you can win. Like, that if I'm coaching against Nebraska, that's what I'm trying to do. But if you don't have that guy, then it's, okay, James, try and score 60. No one else is scoring.
I don't know if they'll go to that extreme, because
right.
I feel like they'll probably do what the last two teams have tried to do against Nebraska, which is plug up those driving lanes and maybe draw a charge or two to get Palmer in foul trouble. But here's the other interesting element this week. So we've talked about how Nebraska's going to play in Minnesota. Nebraska played on Sunday as well against Illinois.
Right.
So this will be Nebraska's third game in 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Creighton obviously played an intense game on Saturday against Gonzaga, but Creighton has the whole week to rest up and come up with a game plan to take down Nebraska. So Creighton is practicing. We're recording this on a Monday. Creighton's practicing Monday. They have Tuesday off. And then they're going Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'd imagine Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are very much oriented toward that Nebraska game plan. So they essentially have 3 days. And in this in season, it's not often you get 3 days to prepare for a team in like the grind of the season.
And who does Creighton play after Nebraska? Like, do they have
it's finals week, so they don't have another game until the Friday after.
So
it's
have
Green Bay.
Nothing else to focus on.
Finals, I guess, if you
sure,
want to. Yeah, but
sure,
in a basketball sense,
right.
No.
Like, they're not going to be like, all right, we're going to do Nebraska for 45 minutes, and we're going to do 10 minutes of prep on Seton Hall.
Yeah.
No, it's 55 minutes of Nebraska.
You would think it's all Nebraska, maybe a little bit of, like, internal stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Jays have flaws. They do. I mean, as impressive as they have looked offensively over the last 4 to 5 games, you know, there's still a question, I feel like, going into every night is how consistent are they going to be defensively. And it's sometimes it's even like a half-to-half thing. I felt like they were good enough against Gonzaga, even though they allowed 41 points and they gave up 25 to Gonzaga's bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were good enough to win that game defensively. And in the second half, they weren't. They gave up 62 points and they let Gonzaga's three-point shooters have good looks. A couple of them, Zach Norvell made a couple tough ones, but he also had some good in-rhythm jump shots where Creighton kind of fell asleep a little bit, or maybe just got sucked in a little bit too much trying to take away Gonzaga's bigs and a size advantage inside. So defensively, like, finding some consistency there is still a question. Rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
They cleaned up their turnover issue against Gonzaga, but is that going to be a problem against Nebraska's sort of athleticism, aggressive defense? And the fact that Nebraska's probably going to switch up its looks defensively, I would think, maybe throwing some 1-3-1.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they will.
And maybe even try to press a little bit just to get those guys rattled. I think there are still issues for Creighton. So I would imagine that part of this week, while you are thinking about Nebraska, you're also saying, well, what can we do to improve some of the things we're not very good at? Because this game matters, but we also need to get better because there's a lot of season left. So.
Yeah. In a way, it's good. Like, there are two schools of thought. You have we've got 3 days to prepare, like, nothing to do but prepare for Nebraska, all that. On the other side, you've got, Nebraska, who will be coming off of another game, sure, but, like, sometimes you're playing better when you are playing.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes if
you're in a rhythm, you're sort of just like...
I mean, they beat Illinois. If you beat Minnesota by 20, you're feeling really good. Yes. Like, you're going into this Creighton game. You like what you have. Like, you're not going to be, you know, you're going to take a day off. Like, you're going to do some light work. Like, next time you go full speed, like, you've already done that recently, you know? And so you kind of see, we'll kind of see, like, what actually works better.
Yeah.
Like, the time off. Because Nebraska's not, I mean, they didn't look great coming off a long stretch after Clemson. Like, they looked okay. At the beginning, I mean, they jumped out to a big lead, but like there were times when it was just kind of like they were trying to get into an offense and like it just wasn't working, and it was like not, communication wasn't all that great, and so and that those things don't usually happen when you're playing, you know. So I'm curious if that'll actually help.
Any thought real quick just going into Minnesota, because if indeed you do listen to this podcast before that game, it's Wednesday, we're recording on a Monday. What do the Huskers need to do to take care of business against the Gophers?
Yeah, you know, Minnesota's good. They're not great. They lost big to Ohio State, and Ohio State's pretty good, but I don't think that they're great. Minnesota just doesn't look all that great. I've watched a little bit of their game, but I haven't looked too much. Mm-hmm. They did beat Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State's pretty good.
I think they got a win over Miami. I know they lost to Boston College. Ken Palm has them 55th now.
So they're okay. And I think you know, this is kind of an important year for Coach Pitino.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And so there's kind of some pressure going on. The quote from last night after the game, they said, it was something along the lines of like, you know, do you take anything away from this game? And he said, we didn't get hurt, and I hope our flight is on time. Like, they're just ready to completely move on.
From Ohio State?
Yeah, like, they're just absolutely
they did get
ready to go.
Rolled. Dang.
So I think this is a game that, like, Nebraska doesn't have to really do anything special. Like, I don't think you gimmick him up. I think you just kind of run out there, do what you have to do.
Minnesota didn't beat Miami. They beat A&M and Washington.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they've got a couple wins over Power 5 school.
Yeah. Lost to Boston College. But yeah, go on. Sorry.
No, you're good. The only thing I remain curious about is, like, can you get Isaiah Roby going?
Yeah.
Because I think that they need to have Isaiah Roby going for Creighton. And, you know, Roby just hasn't looked sharp.
Right. And this might be a tough game for him because, you know, Jordan Murphy inside is he's a good player. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he could draw fouls. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and I would imagine Roby, if he's not assigned to guard him one-on-one, maybe he's involved in that.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, like, you gotta figure out how to, I mean,
play without fouling.
There are a lot of big guys on every team, you know? Like, you have to figure out how to play without getting a third foul with 18 minutes left in the second half. Like, that's just... I almost thought about going back and being like, all right, when did he pick up his third and fourth foul? Because they're usually before the first TV timeout in the second half.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to, like, dog on the kid. Like, I think he's a really nice kid, and he's got all the potential in the world. But just for whatever reason, there's just something not quite clicking. And this happens with guys. This happens with players in the season.
Maybe Nebraska can just play a lot of zone. Minnesota's shooting 33% from three, and that's largely because one guy is shooting 53.5%. He's 23 of 43.
Yeah, he leads the Big Ten.
Right, so guard that dude. And then let everybody else shoot threes and just play zone, and then you don't have to worry about foul trouble.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the formula. I don't know.
I tell you what, man, Nebraska's 1-3-1 is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's ineffective.
You put James Palmer, Isaiah Roby at the top, and you get Copeland in the middle.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think Nebraska should have a ton of issues with Minnesota. That said, they could overlook them. Minnesota's coming off a loss. They might be a little angry. They're playing at home. It's a really late tip. It's 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So there are some weird things that could happen, but I think when Nebraska just plays its game, it should be able to take care of business.
All right. So on the I think it was the first podcast, might have been the second, where we did this little segment that we were calling the Final Four and One, where basically I do some power rankings, and we come up with different topics, and I let Chris react and tell me I'm dumb or tell me I'm real smart, and that was fun. So my idea this week, because of Nebraska Creighton, was to come up with the five best insults.
PG insults.
Yes, PG.
That's important.
Right. Okay. So the five best insults that you will hear this week, mm-hmm. leading into Creighton, Nebraska, and maybe on Saturday at the arena before the tip.
Yeah.
Power rankings. Do you want to hear the power rankings first? Do you want to hear the ones that failed to make the...
I want to hear the ones that failed to make it.
Okay. So I couldn't like find good ones. Like, I feel like there's... You could always attack Creighton fans for like the sweater vest and drinking daiquiris and martinis,
yeah.
and not really actually caring about basketball and just kind of chilling, lounging while mm-hmm. game's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of feel a little bit played out. And then on like the stereotypes in Nebraska, like, I don't know, eating a corn cob and chewing on jerky and wearing
right.
like overalls or whatever. Like that, those seemed a little bit too...
Those are low hanging fruit.
Yeah. Too easy. I think that Tim Miles and Mac, that one's just, that doesn't like resonate as much because it's just like they're, Greg McDermott's 14-0 against Tim Miles over their coaching career, but that doesn't like feel as, that doesn't dig as much as I wanted. And there's one that I couldn't quite find like how to find out how to do it. Now, part of it is like what we talked about at the jump, that Creighton, there's a lot of Creighton basketball fans who are also Nebraska football fans, so maybe mm-hmm. this doesn't work, but like, Creighton's had two NBA draft picks
yeah.
over the last 2 years, and Nebraska's only produced two NFL draft picks over the last 2 years.
Oh,
so
really?
It's like,
that's yeah.
There's something there, but
yeah,
I can't figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, there is something there.
And they're different sports, so then it's like, well, if it's different sports, you bring in volleyball and baseball,
right,
and I was like,
right.
I don't want to go through all that.
Yeah.
So. I couldn't find... There's some... And I wanted to get a Scott Frost reference in there, too, but I couldn't figure it out. So that's where my head was at.
Okay.
Here's the five
yeah,
that I got.
Okay.
Number five, Tommy Frazier's ours now.
That's good.
Tommy Frazier, obviously famed Nebraska quarterback, has been known to attend a Blue Jay game or two.
With a Blue Jay sweater
yeah.
on? Yeah. It's...
So if you're a Jays fan, you might be talking a little. I know that drew the ire of Nebraska fans, some Nebraska fans. So
that's good.
Tommy Frazier belongs to Creighton. Number four, scoreboard.
Yeah,
pretty simple.
Yep.
Creighton's won seven in a row.
Yep,
by an average of 14 points a game.
Yep,
they lead the all-time series now by one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so scoreboard.
Yeah,
just simple. Flat out scoreboard.
Which, like, if you are on the opposite side, no matter who you are, and someone just says scoreboard, like it, that one hurts because you can't, there's like, dang it, but the refs.
Yeah. Number three. College basketball is your top sport, and you have yet to make a Sweet 16.
That's good. See, that's pretty good.
Creighton, obviously, that's what they do. They play ball
mm-hmm.
and have not had success in the NCAA tournament. Matter of fact, Chris, how many teams Creighton over the last 20 years has made the NCAA tournament 12 times?
Yeah.
No Sweet 16s.
Yeah.
How many teams do you think have made the Sweet 16 in the last 20 years?
Man, I feel like you've tweeted this or written that before.
I did last spring when Creighton bowed out in the tournament after the first round.
The last 12 years.
No, last 20 years.
The last 20 years.
How many teams have made the Sweet 16?
Oh, my gosh. 75.
91.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And Creighton is not one of them.
Creighton is not one of them.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
You might
that's
hear that.
Good, that's a good dick. Yeah, it's a good dick.
Number two. Y'all offered $100,000 and two jobs to a recruit. And he still didn't go to your school.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I got a feeling that there's going to be some signs, some chants,
yeah.
some sort of reference by either the students or the fan base at large.
Possibly costumes.
To the fact that Creighton has been implicated in the scandal. Again, we don't know the details of this, and Creighton's been pretty adamant about denying its involvement or that any wrongdoing occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still more to come out, but that doesn't stop Nebraska fans from enjoying it at Creighton's expense. And they, I gotta imagine, will play that
That's
up.
That's going to be the kindling to the fire. Like, it's just going to be, it's going to fuel the place.
Right. And number one, Husker fans, cover your ears. You already know what's coming. No Nebraska or no NCAA tournament game ever
yeah.
won by Nebraska.
Yep.
You have not won an NCAA tournament game in your history.
The only Power 5 school to not happen. Yep.
0-7, is that right? 0-8?
I think so. They've even been a three seed.
Yeah. But if you don't have an NCAA tournament game, it sort of or NCAA tournament win under your belt, I mean, you've lost a lot of credibility in terms of your ability to talk some trash in basketball.
And it hurts college basketball. That the last team to do it was Northwestern, and they'd never even been to a tournament. And they went and then won.
Yeah,
that hurts.
Yeah.
That's a good list. You did a good job. We're going to hear a lot of that and see a lot of that on Twitter. I think so.
All right, we'll end the pod like we always do.
This is the official one.
This is the official prediction. What do you got? Who you got? I can go first. I've already made my pick.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, if Nebraska, gosh, I may walk this back if Nebraska just beats Minnesota down hard. Because I'm not 100% sure that Minnesota went on the road. Like, that might look better than winning at Clemson on the road at the end of the year. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not, but it could. Because, like you said, Minnesota's going to be desperate this whole season.
Right.
But I'm going to pick Creighton. Creighton wins by 2 on the road. I like their offense.
Yeah.
And I think they got a little bit more depth than Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way to win on the road.
I hate to be those beat reporters who pick the team that you're covering.
Do it.
But I am gonna take Nebraska.
All right.
By 2.
Whoever loses has to do the notes package.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, shake on it.
All right.
Yeah, loser has to do the
loser
notes package.
Has to do the notes pack, the notebook.
Yeah.
Out of the game.
Okay, that's fair.
Since we both picked the teams that we cover.
Yeah,
not on the line. I'm gonna talk to Greg McDermott about this.
I think Nebraska's defense is going to bother Creighton just enough, and PBA weird things happen there.
When's the last time Nebraska's lost at home?
KU last year.
Oh, okay.
Almost a year ago. But but it was KU and they only lost by 1.
Yeah.
Like weird things happen at PBA. Like two things about Nebraska basketball. When they as a team decide to be really good, they're really good. Like when James Palmer shows up to the arena and decides that he's going to be the best player on the court, he is. Sometimes he doesn't decide that. When Pinnacle Bank Arena decides that they want to care about a basketball game, they absolutely do.
Yeah. Well, like, and that's actually the same thing about Creighton's or home arena, too, because Saturday was insane. And it did. When I left the gym, I was thinking about how, man, that was so much fun, and that environment was great. Creighton fans really brought it. I'm so lucky because I'm about to experience the same thing on Saturday because I know Nebraska fans are going to be ready.
There are times when PBA is a snooze fest and people, like, are just kind of there to have a business lunch, and it's so boring. And you can hear the defense talking. Like I could hear Illinois yelling at each other, like screen and roll, like operations.
Yeah, and you're sitting like
on the exact opposite side.
Yeah, like up what 25, 30 rows, and you can. Yeah,
but like Seton Hall, when the refs are doing their little thing and PBA got mad, then it became a special place. With Creighton, it's going to be special.
Yeah.
I think that helps a little bit. Defense.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. But, again, close, close, close.
All right, Chris. That's probably all we got. We could probably talk for about an hour more about it, but we'll end the pod that way. You've got Nebraska. I've got Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back next week to break it all down.
For the fallout, yeah.
The fallout. I like how you use that term. Because, like, kind of feels like it might have that effect for either team. No one wants to be on the wrong end of this gun, but somebody will. So we'll see how it plays out. Thanks for listening.